didn't feel the prejudices. I didn't ever think about why we didn't go to the grocery store. My dad always went to the grocery store. My mother didn't go to the grocery store. I never thought about it. But my dad didn't allow us to go because he didn't want us to feel the prejudice.
Right.
So I never understood. I said, my mother never goes to the grocery store. My mother never, you know, does certain things. Girls, we just didn't do them. The only place we went was to the clothing store. And that was to Hoyt's in Washington. Mm-hmm. And to the Virginia shop in Belhaven. That's where we shot. That's where my mother took us. But we never, and we went to the movies. We had a movies in Belhaven. The blacks were upstairs. I thought nothing of it because I thought that was the best place to be. I never thought about it. We went to the bakery in Belhaven. And we just went to the first door, which was always, didn't realize it had colored on the door. But it was the closest door when you left the movies.
Right.
So we just went in there. And they had the same things on both sides of the counter. You know, they had the same pies, the same honey buns, the same everything. And I paid no attention to it. But my dad was always right there to pick us up. You go in, you get what you want, and you come back to the truck.
So he was protecting you.
He was protecting us from feeling the prejudices. So I didn't feel the prejudice.
Well, the kids in that class don't believe that I never realized that something wrong was going on.
No, because like
I was insulated from it too.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah,
you
were, and this is what parents do.
Yeah, and I guess you know that was just the way it was.
The way it was
in my world.
Yeah. Now in Pantiga during that time, if I'm not on the street, you come in by mails now. It was the Russ family. Then it was Hazel Harrell, who was black. Then it was the Griffin family. Then across the street was a white family. It has always been mixed. And, you know, I never thought anything about it.
My husband's neighborhood was like that.
Yeah, we walked down to the post office, and there was a little family down there, the Harris family, that were blatantly prejudiced. But by this time, we were 13, 14 years old. Didn't bother us at all because we'd beat her up. The white kids and the black ones together, we'd beat she and the brother up, throw them over in the yard and keep on going. We did. I mean, and we just didn't think anything because Jane was white. Jane's sister was white. The Ratcliffes were white. And we didn't think it. Pat Johnson's children were white. And so we just beat her up when she'd say bad things. We just beat her up and push her over in her yard. And keep on. So you know, you were sheltered. Now, when my husband tells the story, he tells a whole different story.
And what does he tell?
Well, see, his parents were sharecroppers.
Right.
They moved from place to place. They realized you couldn't go into this store. If you took the bus, you had to go into this side of the station. We never took the bus. My dad always drove us.
Right.
And they had to walk for miles. We lived right next door to the school, so it wasn't a big thing for us. We thought nothing about, you know, going to school was next door.
Right.
But he had to walk that 2 miles to get to school. So he tells a whole different story. But like I was not, and I don't think he was raised with prejudices, like taught prejudices. His prejudices came from living,
mm-hmm.
from experiencing, but not being taught in his home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
It makes a difference when your beliefs or your thoughts or your feelings come from having lived it,
right.
and then somebody teaching it to.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
a whole different story.
Absolutely.
That's different.
So when they were going to build this big old school over here, and I know in my part of the county,
They didn't want it in Pantiga either.
I had never really heard anybody from Pantiga talk about it.
They came and snowballed the community. A group of people came, and at that time Frank Ambrose was principal of the school, and they snowballed him into snowballed some of the people through him to making it acceptable. You see, for us in Pantiga, growing up, we were never allowed to go to Belhaven. The only thing we went to Belhaven for was the movies and the bakery. Shop at the Virginia shop, but you could not hang in Belhaven. Morals and values were totally different. So we were taught as kids. Okay? So we couldn't hang in Belhaven. So the thoughts of years ago, before integration, there had been an act to integrate the two black schools. The parents of Pantiga rented buses and went to Raleigh and said before their children went to Belhaven to school, they would close the school and homeschool their children. This was before integration. This was after Beaufort County High School had been erected through the town
Mr.
of Pantiga,
Cleon,
through the people in Pantiga,
not
because
the office,
of the state. The state said, we will help you once you get your building up and we see what you're doing. That's why the town of Pantiga gave that building to the Beaufort County High School alumni, because the black people had actually built that building.
Okay.
But no, the integration prior to that, the people of Pantiga said, my children will not go to Belhaven. My children will not associate with the children in Belhaven. You see, there are all kinds of prejudices,
mm-hmm.
not just because of the color of your skin,
mm-hmm.
but because of values and morals. As our people in Pantiga, our parents perceived
right.
that the people of Belhaven's morals and values were totally different than ours. So that's why the schools never were integrated or consolidated with the blacks in Belhaven and Pantiga. So when the consolidation of this school came, it was still like, that is totally, utterly unacceptable. The only thing that could, we couldn't fight it because we didn't have any kids in Pantiga.
That is very interesting.
Yes, no, we didn't want any consolidation.
That was the same thing being said in Bible.
Yes, see, my son, my youngest son who went to, would not even go to his, I do not have a graduation picture of my youngest son except the little snapshot that they take, the proof. That is the only picture I have. He would not take pictures. He would not buy a class ring.
Because he was in that first class.
He was in that first class, nor would he go to the prom or anything else affiliated with. He did play basketball. He would not play football. And he played basketball only because he felt he had to do something. He was sick of being in the house.
Well, my son felt very much the same way coming here.
Yeah, he just hated it. So that was, no, that was a wool pullover for the people.
So when the Pantiga and Belhaven schools were combined, that was like, happened like a week before school started?
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. It was like, we haven't decided, and then boom, we've decided. Didn't
right.
give you a chance to fight it.
No.
This was the strategy. You know, every day people would go to the Pantiga High School and says, Frank, what's going on? Nothing, it's fine, nothing. Okay.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your church.
Oh, God, it's just a blessing
from
on high.
I said the best for last, you
know. It's all just a blessing from on high. In fact, we are going... I won't be in school again on the 17th of May because we're going to Harrisonburg, Virginia and and participate in a celebration with the Mennonite group that came to rebuild our church. We're going on Saturday, we're going to stay Sunday, we won't leave until Monday to come back. Only God could do what has been done. And you know what? I tell people, I said, you know, in the early days, in the early Bible days, after Jesus came and he performed miracles to prove just who he was and what he was able to do. Today we've got those same kind of people, non-believers. So again, he says, let me show you what I can do. Because there is no way that Weeping Mary's church would be built today or any day with 40 people, members, half of them much older than I, a third of them, two-thirds of them don't work but live on Social Security. There is no way a church is valued at $325,000. Would be erected 1 year after it burned. There is no way. I tell you, when I look at it, I just simply say, it's glory to God, because without him, there would be. And see, God uses all of his people, and he brings you together one way or another. I never knew there were black Mennonites. I know this sounds ignorant to some people.
I wouldn't have been, I didn't know until you just said it.
I would not have known. I said to Bernard Martin and Joan Martin, they came down and they scrutinized us. Because they said there's so much lying and cheating and making believe going on. And when that group came down and they decided that they were going to help Weeping Mary Church, they were going to furnish all of the labor. For us, we had $80,000 in cash from the insurance. That's all we had. Of course, with the contributors, like people from Northside and all the whole eastern North Carolina, people from New York, people from Georgia, heard about this, and money just came in. So we ended up maybe $125,000, $130,000 in cash money. We're still like $20,000 in debt, but that's all.
Okay.
For furniture and everything that we owe is about $20,000.
Man, that is a miracle.
Nobody but God. Nobody, nobody. You know, so it was a blessing. People looked at it, and that church burned 132 years of history. And they says, oh my God, I was going, thank you, Jesus. You know how much we went out there every month just to patch up and to light heaters and pray that that lighter wood that was there wouldn't catch on fire with us in it and that the veil wouldn't fall from inside on us. You know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I says, God, thank you. And people looking, why would you be thanking God for this? Because he's going to show up. He's going to show you. Everybody just knew that was the end of Weeping Mary. People even said, why don't you just take the insurance, divide it among the membership, and go on and join? I says, that's ludicrous. Weeping Mary has 132 years of history. It's just beginning.
Yeah.
Just beginning. My coming back to work, not only been a blessing for me, but it's been a blessing for my church. Because I contribute one-third of my salary to my church. And as long as I work, I will do that until that $20,000 is paid off. Not only that, I got a check in my pocket right now from one of my co-workers who was not able to give me anything at the time of the burning of the church. But God blessed her, and she got some unexpected money, and she shared that money with me. I know, because that's what I'm doing. That was Peggy Elliott. Gave me a check this morning for my church. You see, and it's not, and this shows you that God is one God. He's a God of all of us. There is not a church in this area that has not contributed to our church. Either monetarily or otherwise. Not one church in this whole area. Not one. That says something for where we live.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
Really does. It says something for where we live.
It does. I said I'd save the best for last, but I do want to ask you one more thing. Okay. You've been doing this a long time.
Yes.
and things have changed. We all know that.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So if you, I mean, just in a little bit, because I know it's, we both need to go home, but yeah. Tell me a little bit about, I guess what I'm looking for is some hope.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I've found that children, I don't care about all the change. When I look at the children today, yeah, there's a lot of differences. But there are a lot of things that are the same. Children love structure. Children want to be disciplined. And I know that from children who have come back and said to me, you taught me in fifth grade, and you would open up my head. I mean, you just opened up our heads and poured stuff in it. I've had other children who says, Ms. Mann, thank you. I've had one of the fellows who put in, who was our heating air, Pamlico Heating and Air. The young man who owns the business, I talked. You know what he said to me when he saw me? He said, I would not be doing this had it not been for you. I about flipped out. The plumber said to me, didn't realize I had taught him. He says, you taught me in fifth grade and sixth grade. Look what your beating my hands made me do. You know, and I'm saying this to say, today, the children at Northside, half of them I don't teach. Show me the most respect. And anybody who knows me knows that you don't get away. I don't care who it is. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And I will discipline you. But I think they know that I care about them. So I think children need that structure. They need to be disciplined. But they need to know that you truly care. And yeah, they're different. They're very different. And they'll keep you, but when you let them know that I've been there, I'm not so old that I don't remember.
Yeah.
And there are certain things you can't get over. And I think they
you didn't come in on the turnip.
No, right? No, no, no. No, no, no.
Paris?
I'm coming. She thought her grandma